Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Pray God will give it to us in Jesus' name. Once again, our Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the first shot. Thank you for the exhortation. Thank you for the insights we've received. I pray that this session you will help us to see things that pertain to this covenant in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Hebrews 8, verses 7 to 13. He says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. 8. For finding fault with them, who did God find fault with? Who did God find fault with? There was a covenant called the first covenant. Am I okay? A first covenant. But the Bible says he found fault with them. The people who were supposed to be the second part of that covenant. It was a two-part agreement. God and the people. Are you with me? Right. But the Bible says he found fault with them. And he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he seeth a new covenant. He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Praise the Lord. The premise, as we read further on, the premise of a priesthood is based on an existing covenant. Okay, there must be a covenant for a priesthood to hold. But let me say this up front. When we speak about the first covenant, when was the first covenant cut? Can any one of you answer that? Now you will think that the first covenant is called the Mosaic covenant. But that's not true. There was no covenant between God and Moses, per se. No, there was no covenant with God and Moses. The covenant that carried Israel was not the Mosaic covenant. A more powerful covenant held Israel in place. And it is that covenant that you must understand what it entailed. Amen. In that first covenant, you will find out it was not caught with Moses, it was caught with their father Abraham. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis chapter 17. Let me try and see if I can read 1 to 21. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Bishop told us yesterday that between the time God gave the promise and the time God came back to him, between the time he and his wife Sarah sought themselves out with Ishmael, it was 13 years. That was interesting. God didn't talk to Abraham for 13 years. How can you live for 13 years and God didn't talk to you? And you are still living. You now understand what Pastor was saying, that except you are obeying, you are not living. Praise God. Praise God. People say that when man was born again, it was the spirit that got born again. But these men were not born again and God was still talking to them. So how was God talking to them? I'll come back to that. Not today. I will come back. When I enter Hebrews, I'll talk about that. He says, walk before me and be perfect. Verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Can you understand the terms of the covenant now? These are the benefits of the covenant. I will make you the father of many nations. All right. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Then he went on. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Next verse. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Can you see the promises he's making here? And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Not one generation. This therefore is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Please, are you paying attention? Every man child among you shall be what? Circumcised. I didn't hear you. What? And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generation, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Praise the Lord. Let me say this. Who was the first Hebrew in creation? God was the first Hebrew. The second Hebrew was Abraham and his seed after him. Am I making sense to you? It was them that came to join God. Am I making sense? It was God. And God began to alter their natures to become like him. So when you say an Hebrew, the first Hebrew was God. Am I communicating to you? Hallelujah. You will need to understand this. Now, he now told them that the sign of the covenant between they and him will be what? The circumcision. So you cannot be an Hebrew if you are not circumcised. Do you understand me? Circumcision made you an Hebrew. So when you look at a proselyte, they want to ask him, you must be circumcised. Do you follow me? You will now need to understand what took place in Acts of Apostles chapter 15 that brought all the elders of the church to Jerusalem to resolve one single question. Whether it is proper for a Gentile to be circumcised before he can be a member of the Church of Christ or not. Because it was important that if you are going to be an Hebrew of God, you must be what? Circumcised. And that is an established truth in the earth. Amen. And so every child that is born into a Jewish family. Please, I didn't say Jew, I said Hebrew. I'm using my words carefully. Do you understand me? In fact, it's true that there are certain prophetic things you cannot understand except you understand Hebrew. But that's another story for another day. Praise God. And so, when that child is born, he has to be grafted into the family of Hebrews. And when that circumcision is seen, he has become a family of God. He has come into what? The covenant. That is the first covenant. What took place on Mount Sinai was not the first covenant. It's not the Old Testament. You call it Testament, but that first Testament was between God and Abraham. And it was sealed by what? Circumcision. So when you look back and say, Old Testament. And of course, this issue of tithing predates the Mosaic law. Now, you should begin to understand that as things progressed, you need to understand that why was it that God did not have, God said, I will bless Ishmael. He will become 12 tribes. I will bless Isaac. He also will become a powerful nation. Do you understand? Why was that? Because Ishmael was also circumcised. The covenant was working in his life. God did not throw away Ishmael. There was provisions for his salvation. Amen. Keep that somewhere. And then God began to move down. Of course, the birthright issue came up. And Israel came back to right. Then the Bible told us that one day God appeared to a man called Moses in the inner part of the desert. And the bush, a dry bush was burning. And normally a dry bush should burn. How many of you know that dry bush normally burn? But the dry bush was burning, and the dry bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will look and see this great sight. And when God saw that he responded, God answered out of the fire and told Moses, he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and who? You know why he could say so? Because there was a subsisting what? Covenant. That is covenant terminologies. I'm a God that keeps covenant. Remember, the covenant was for Abraham and to his seed unto their generations. He said, I have now come in respect of the covenant I cut with Abraham, because I have heard the cry of my people. Praise the Lord. It was that cry that brought him down. Are you telling me that there were no other nations in the world where their government was oppressing them, like Nigeria? There were governments like that. There were people like that. There were Gentile nations like that. But God was not bothered with them, because there was no subsisting what? Covenant. Covenant is a very powerful thing. Very, very powerful. Hallelujah. And the Bible recorded that it gave Moses instructions. You know what took place. Now, it was interesting to know that when Moses was returning back to Egypt with his family, his wife and his two kids. Praise God. Is it two kids or a kid? I think it was a kid. The Bible says God appeared on the road to kill Moses. Is that not strange? Was it not the same God that appeared to him in the burning bush? Was it not the one that sent him back? Why then must he stand to kill him? Because he had told Abraham that anyone that is not circumcised, he will cut down so long. Do you follow me? And Moses did not care to circumcise his son. Even though Moses was circumcised. You know how I know that Moses was circumcised? The Bible says his parents kept him in the house for 3 months, not being afraid of the king's edict. So they must have circumcised him. But God was going to kill him because he disobeyed God's laws. He did not circumcise his sons. And so when that... Must have been a cherub that appeared to him on the way. Amen. With a sword drawn to kill him. And his wife saw it. And his wife grabbed the son and cut off the foreskin. And of course, when that happened, blood spilled. And he threw the foreskin at the feet of Moses and said, "Thou art a bloody husband to me." And turned back and took the family back to Medina. Do you follow what's going on? What was at stake here? Circumcision. And so they went into, he went and brought them out of Egypt. Now, all that happened in Egypt, you know what happened. The Bible said after 40 years of their sojourn, when all those men that came out had perished in the wilderness, a new set had grown up. They were about to enter into the promised land, to take the promised land. The Bible says after they had eaten the manna, and they had eaten the fruit of the land, the manna seeds, God now instructed Joshua, he says, circumcise all the male children above 20 years. Because they were not able to circumcise them because of their journey in the desert. God did not allow them to enter their promised land until they were circumcised. Do you follow what's going on now? Circumcision is the key that unlocks the testament. Without circumcision, no testament can open. It will not open. You will just be walking up and down. You'll be telling stories. And and the Bible recorded that after that circumcision, Israel went into the promised land and they conquered and won what they could win. But you will know that as I'm paraphrasing, I'm just saying things that you should know. That through their time in the promised land, God kept protesting through the prophets. He says, circumcise your heart and not your flesh. Can you see a shift in the demands of heaven? That even within the legal framework of that covenant, that God said, it stipulated naturally that circumcise your flesh. He was saying that this is a type of a reality. That even under that first testament, it demanded that it's not just your flesh you should circumcise, your heart also needs circumcising. If Israel had proceeded into the promised land to wage war against those giants, they would have annihilated them. Do you follow me? Because there was no connection between they and God. Circumcision was what connected them. And I said here on Sunday, sorry, I beg your pardon, I said here on Monday, no nation goes to war without their gods. Am I making sense to you? What connected them to their gods were those sacrifices. But remember I said that Israel was supposed to be a nation of priests. They were to be a nation of what? Priests. All of them were to be priests. Because of the nature, because of the circumcision rites that they all engaged in, they were all separated. They were sanctified. That's the meaning of sanctification. To separate you from an ordinary use for a use by divinity. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? They were all separated. God separated them from ordinary people. From all the nations of the earth. He separated them. He said, you are mine. By reason of that covenant. That is why he kept protesting. You cannot be like other nations. Do you know why God there was angry? When they said to Samuel, give us a king that we can be like other nations. The original reason why they were circumcised, why they were Hebrews, why they became Hebrews, was that he didn't want them to be like other nations. In fact, he wanted other nations to be like them. So every time, again, I see Christians wanting to be like an unbeliever, it tells me they don't know their right from their left. It was the same thing that Israel did when they said, give us a king that we may be like other nations. And God said to Samuel, they've not rejected you from being prophet, they rejected me from being their king. Every time you envy the wicked, you are saying to God, you are not the best deal. I'm making a mistake following you. Every time your heart moves after the prosperity of the wicked, when you look like Jagaban, and Jagaban is throwing his Zagbada like this, and you are seeing the Jeep. What is the latest 2018 Range Rover? Have you seen it? 2018 Range Rover. Who has seen it? I've not seen it. Praise God. But assuming he comes in with the Range Rover and all the trappings of power and might and glory and honor and everything, I'm somewhere your heart moves. I wish that God can make me like this. I will use this thing for God. You have gone the same way that the first generation went to. You see, he found fault with them. Their hearts were not right. It was an art thing. Their hearts were not right. They didn't cleave to God. They kept looking outside and they kept feeling that the other Gentile nations around them were better than them. And so they copied the other nations. They kept copying. And so when I look at the church again, who should be defining fashion for the world? It should be the church. But unfortunately, as we have it now, the world defines fashion for us. There was a time when, how many of you know, Boko Haram style was, you know that Boko Haram style, where their trousers is like this. You remember that? I mean, don't remember. Were you born then? Michael Jackson. Pencil. You were not born then. Mommy, remember? Pencil. Praise God. If you don't wear pencil, you have not worn trousers. Praise God. Well, God is good. I want you to check what is defining your life. Check what is defining your life. I've said it here before. What killed Goliath was not the sling that killed Goliath. You know what killed him? The covenant of circumcision. You know what David said? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That was what killed the man. He made that word, went out of his mouth. Goliath was dead. Heaven was going to kill him. They are not going to assassinate him. They are going to obliterate him. Every time Israel came into battle, the issue of circumcision versus the uncircumcision. Do you follow me? That's the issue. And so the Bible says God found out that there was something wrong with them. They didn't keep the covenant. And so he said, I will do away with this old covenant and I will have a new covenant. But listen to me. What happened in the days of Moses? Now, let me explain this to us before I start delving into scriptures. Because I need to give you the background story. This was what happened with Moses. Moses was the one that gave them. Now, the reason, Bible says Moses was the law giver. Why was he the law giver? Listen to me. The law that Moses gave were the laws by which the heavens were ruled by. Can I say that again? These were the laws of God's kingdom. These were the laws of the Hebrews in heaven. Do you follow me? Do you follow me?
Yes, sir.
It's not like House of Assembly members, Asurok dwellers, Malagbaka dwellers, who make rules and they don't follow them. Do you understand me? You do what I say, you don't do what I do. I am the Lord. I am the King. I think in Yoruba land is the same. You know what they call kabiyesi? What's the meaning of kabiyesi? You are unquestionable. The word of a king, the matter there is power. If the word of a king is the word of a monarch. It's an absolute monarch. If a monarch looks at you and said, take him away. That's all. You are done. If a man, woman passes and sees that you have a beautiful wife, in those days, probably that's the reason why we don't have beautiful, you know. Amen. Don't let me say that. Hallelujah. If you are fortunate to marry a beautiful wife, and the king is passing and he sees your wife, and he casts the covering, the king's covering over your wife, that's the end. They say, oh, back basically. There's been like that. Human beings love oppression. So you don't know why many went into the occult to fortify themselves. That if I cannot fight the king physically, I can use magical powers to defend my own. Do you follow what I'm saying? So, kings are powerful entities. And so, when Israel came out of Egypt, they were not a people. They were not... See, they had a slave mentality. It's every man for himself and God for no one. Hallelujah. How can you imagine a people worth over 2 million? Population, 2 million. 2 million. That is about 2/3 of the total population of Ondo State. We say we're about 3 million. So 2 million people. Can imagine all of them standing together in a group and say, we are not going to be slaves again. Nobody can stop them. The total population of Nigerian army, Pastor, if I'm not right, the total Nigerian population, Nigerian army is not more than 300,000 carrying arms. If 2 million of us carry Dengon, Nigerian army can't fight also. Abi, what did I say? They can't fight us. With Dengon, ordinary Dengon, they can't fight also. 2 million with Dengon. That was what happened in the Gulf War. Saddam told America, he said he can marshal 1 million men to battle. The whole Allied forces could only bring 400,000. That is including cook and washermen. 400,000. Cooks are there. Drivers are there. Tailors are there. Barbers are there. So let us 100,000 of them are barbers and all that. Okay, 300,000. 300,000 by 1 million. It must not be 1 million. It's not a small number. And they are carrying assault rifle, AK-4 rifle. They too have guns. They too are well fed. They are well dressed. They are well kitted. Praise the Lord. Am I talking to you? But I've watched Animal Geographic. One lioness versus a herd of buffaloes. And as powerful as the buffaloes are, they are afraid to attack the lioness. One lion. When the lion charge, they will all scatter. Then they come back again. They're looking at him. Yet if all of them agree to attack the lioness, they will kill it. But they will not. That is what they will do. The lion will kill one of them. Then he will go his way. It's the same thing happening. They had that mentality. They were not a people. So when they brought them out, they were lawless, they were visionless, they carried a mentality. So it was important that they needed to be welded together to become a people. Praise God. And so God needed to give them the laws of heaven. The laws of the kingdom was given to them. Praise God. And the Bible called Moses the mediator of that law. He was the mediator of that operation. Praise God. Do you understand me? It was his job to take them and make them a people. And it was the experiences they passed through in life that was necessary to bind them together. Amen. Why is it that when we want to choose a national team, they have to calm them? Why so? They're all individual players. Best in their clubs, maybe. But if I go play for the national team, there must be need for bonding. Are you with me? They must do what? They must bond. And how do they bond? They have to calm them together. They have to live together. They have to eat together. They have to do many things together. And then you do what they call trial matches. It is there that you'll be able to see how they fit. While I played football, I was very close to a young guy. We were friends. When I'm on the field, I don't need to lift my eyes up. I knew where he would be anytime, anywhere on that field. All I need, once the ball is at my foot, I played in the midfield. The number 11, who was closest to me, I won't pass to him. Because I and him were not close. Even though we were mates, we were not close. He's there. Shall he pass ball to me? I won't see him. The ball is going to my friend at the outside right. And it is I used to do precision passing. The ball will land at his feet. Because I knew the distance, I knew the amount of force I was, you know. You don't follow what I'm trying to say. Because of what? We were bonded. And it took time for us to do what? To bond. So you can now understand why they needed to go through that wilderness experience so that they can do what? Bond. Do you get it? That's why they needed to bond. It's not that if I take them through another way, they would have seen one and run away. But let me train them. Then they can they can become a people. But they never did that. They kept on throwing away the opportunities that came to them. And so God many times had to tell Moses, I think I will discard these people. I think this is a very bad market I have bought. Amen. And when he gave the law, every law came with a death penalty. Do you understand? Those 10 laws that he gave on the Mount Sinai were what? They were laws of heaven. They were laws of his kingdom. It was by those laws that God governed the universe. And those laws, may I say, has not changed. Now, this is the situation. This was what birthed the priesthood. Remember, they were supposed to be a nation of priests. The Bible said they rejected it. They said no. Now, listen to me. God told them to come up and meet him on Mount Sinai. I know what Israel told Moses. Said, go and talk to God. We will stay here. Anything God tells you to do, come and tell us. You know what they did? They rejected the privilege of coming to God. And God said, if that's the way you guys want it, let it be so. And so for that interregnum, Israel ceased to be a nation of priests. But God needed priests because they've given them laws. And that law, if it is broken, carried death penalties. Are you with me? What did they carry? Death penalties. Those, if you continue like that, in less than 10 years, God would have killed the whole tribe of Israel and broken the covenant he had with Abraham. And so what was it? The Bible recorded that when Moses went up to collect the tablet of stones, remember, and came back, he found that his brother Aaron had created a golden calf. All these are stories you know. Am I okay? But I want to put it in proper perspective for you. And Moses was so angry, and he broke the testament that God wrote. And he needed to go back up again. God now said, it is you that will write it yourself. I'm not writing again. You do what? You do what? In the days of Adam, the woman you gave me. So God now said, he that findeth a good wife. You now know what Paul, Pastor was reading in 2 Corinthians 15. He said, not on tables of stone, but on tables of what? Flesh. The tables of stone, it was God who wrote it. Supernaturally wrote it. But Moses, out of anger, broke it. He said, no, I will not write anymore. You, carry pen. You go and get stone. You see how difficult it is. So from that day, we have been writing. As difficult as it was writing on stone, it's also more difficult writing on the heart of flesh. Are you with me? Now, it was important that when he came back the second time, when he came back the first time, the whole camp was given to fornication and all the pleasures of sin. And Moses was, apart from the fact that he broke the tablets, Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Only the tribe of Levi did not partake in that sinful act. The Levitical priesthood was not given because of course, you can say, according to what we heard yesterday, that it was for ordained or whatever it is, but something needed to happen. The children of Levi did not partake. Can you be in a place where people are sinning and you will not partake of the sin? Can you let peer pressure push you into sin? The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. Paul said, I write unto you that you should sin not. They did not sin. And I don't know how long the sin went on in the camp, but they refused to be part of it. And while that was going on, I believe many of them were getting very angry. Now when Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? The tribe of Levi separated themselves. Hallelujah. Paul said, Why am I talking about Paul? Maybe Moses was the Paul of the Old Testament. He said, let every man guard his sword by his side. Take your sword. Enter the camp. Anyone you see that is naked, kill him or her. This is the bad part of priesthood. Priests are not afraid to execute judgment. They are not afraid. They are not afraid to execute judgment. Why did Phinehas get the everlasting covenant of peace? Because he was not afraid to execute judgment. We have lily-livered Christians in the church. We permit sin. Why did Paul write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? He said, I've heard among that there is somebody, brother in church, and I think he's not just an ordinary brother, he's an influential brother, that is having an affair with his father's wife. And you guys are okay with that. In spite of the fact that you speak in tongues, you have all the gifts of the Spirit, and you are not calling, and you see nothing wrong in that. He said, do you not know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You will just find that because you've allowed one person to go on challenge, everybody in that fellowship will begin to be fornicators. Not once, but at different times. You just start finding that your marriages will never end in marriage. Because nobody challenged the first person. And I hear people, some things happened, you know, and I will ask brethren, what did you guys not see? And they say, we didn't want to talk. Ha! You know, this is the bad thing about God. Do you understand what I say? This is the bad thing about God. Let me tell you what is bad about God. If both of you are fighting, if I'm come to judge, I will say she's the one guilty, you are the one that is okay. Abi? Then it ends there. But this is what is bad about God. All of the two of them can be guilty over the same fight. Then you that hard, and then you hard from him, and you hard from him, but going guilty if you don't judge right. So that's why I use that word. This is what is bad about God. Praise God. So if you don't deal with this matter, it will deal with you. And so people say, I don't want to talk. I don't want to move. That thing will kill you too. It will kill you. And God, and you cannot be a Levite if you cannot challenge sin. So why did God raise the Levites eventually? He raised the Levites to deal with the issue of sins. Hallelujah. Because somebody must atone for people. Amen. Phinehas atoned by killing that Jew with the Moabites. Praise God. The Levites became priests because they also executed judgment. If you're going to be a priest, you must know how to execute judgment. Apart from the fact that you know how to intercede, you must also know how to kill sin. Praise God. Said, remove that brother from the midst. One, he said, we handed him over to Satan. If it's your friend, what will you do? You see, you know, what has killed APC? APC, as far as I'm concerned, is a dead party. They are just waiting to bury them in 2019. Because when they accused his own friends of the same thing he's putting PDP men into jail for, he did as if he did not hear. He developed deaf ear. And we know his ear is bad, but his ear is just getting very deaf. And for almost a year, he was deaf. Nothing kills a community when sin is allowed to go unchallenged. Nothing kills a community faster than that. It's I had an experience in a church I was a pastor over. I just taken over the church, and I found out that the number of people were dwindling in church. I found that people were not committed, and I could not place my hand on exactly what was going on. Later I began to learn that the boy was playing our keyboard. He was fornicating and drinking beer and having fun. He's the only person that plays keyboard. I removed him. So let the keyboard remain there unplayed. Let it be a testimony. His suspension was indefinite. So for months, clapping our hands with drum and singing praise. Yeah, but they called it the only time. And people knew he was doing it and nobody challenged him. So when my senior pastor came, he said, "Where is the boy?" I said, I have removed him. If I have suspended him indefinitely, but there's somebody that goes, so I do have her. She couldn't say anything. Then came these three musketeers. What did I judge you? What did I judge you? Lord, you come. So when I called a meeting, and I asking them to say the brother, they did business. Three of them did business. So. Brethren. Some people are still Gentiles. They did business. For one I met for one time. Only one of them knew how to do the business. The man did it, gave it to them. They collected money from that business. The thing was paid in one guy's account. The other person went to collect the check from the place and cash that check, which is written in his company's name. When they give a company check, you cannot cash it except it is paid into that account of that company. But he cashed it without paying it to the account. Now, when he collected the money, he now lent the person who has the account money. Here are our own boys. And it will now begin to tell lies. You see, he agreed to pay the money back, and he said, "Arm robber came into his house, and they broke through the window." And I said, "And your window didn't break, your door did not, and they must have been ghosts." And the person who lent him money said he's going to take it to the police station. He's going to. So when we now found out, so only me, my pastor. And I asked brethren who were supposed to be elders in church to get involved. I come and say they're doing, I said, sure. You can't be a priest if you cannot tell the truth. One of the characteristics of a priest is ability to see error and identify it. You must be able to see and clearly tell. Why is it that the statue they put in the Ministry of Justice or court, High Court, whatever court it is blinded? Because God warned them. Said, when you sit in judgment, you will not show partiality either to the rich or the poor, your friend or your foe. You must bring righteous judgment, righteous weights. These are the preserved requirements of being a priest. Amen. And so when Israel failed, they needed to give them what you call the sacrificial and ritual program, which was the issue of what? Atonement. Do you follow me? The priests were raised for what? Atonement program. Please remember that there are two components to that Old Testament. The real Old Testament. The real Old Testament is the testament is what is based on what? Circumcision. The next thing are the law that regulates their lives. You will not steal. You will not covet. You will honor your father and your mother. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart. Those 10 is still sacrosanct till today. No blood of Jesus altered it. What changed was the sacrificial program. Because all those lambs, scapegoats, turtle doves, the offerings and all that were types of the person of Jesus. And Jesus took all that away because it was a fulfillment of everything when he hung on that cross. So when you come to the New Testament, that's why I read that scripture to you. It said, a new covenant will now make with the house of Israel. Now I will no longer write it on tablet of stones. Where will I write it? On the tablets of where? Their hearts. But that cannot happen until the sacrifice hangs on the cross. Do you understand that now? Can I proceed down? Now let's go to Romans chapter 2. Romans 2. Let's take it from verse 12. You now begin to see Paul's argument. Paul was writing to Christians that were living, to Jews that were living in Rome, who formed the nucleus of the Roman church. Is that okay? Now says, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. For as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, in the context of this, you will understand that Paul was speaking about the law that was given on Mount Sinai. Are you with me? This is the law that was given on Mount Sinai. Now, can you go forward? Verse 13. For not the heirs of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be what? Justified. He's now bringing a thought here, and it is a thought of justification. What is justification? Justification means you are justified. It means you are vindicated. It means you are. It means that you are correct. Am I making sense? Now, you are not correct. If we say that, now we have a problem. I've seen a problem. There was once a young guy who applied to Akumba to study a particular course, and his post-jam score was 72%. The boy was hot. If you touch his body, you know, I'm going to go now. Well, he came and said, I was not offered admission, sir. What is wrong? Is it because, no? And they looked at him and said, wrong subject combination. The boy almost ran mad. But there's nothing we could do. He was not justified, because he didn't pay attention to the rule. The rule said a certain combination is what will earn you this admission. Even though he passed, but he was wrong. Do you follow me? He's saying this, not the heirs of the law are justified before God. Before we talk about priesthood, we want to know, are you justified to come? Are you right to come? Do you have the foundation? Do you have the locus study? Is locus, am I correct? Can you be recognized? When I say, my Lord, in court, can I approach the bench? They will look at you and ask you, who are you? You know why they don't know you? You've not been to law school. You have not been called to bar. That thing they put on your head. As far as the judge is concerned, you are a non-entity. Do you follow me? You are a nobody. You don't exist in law. In fact, like my niece will say, you are a know-nothing. Nothing is something. Nothing. But when they say that nothing itself, you know they. That's because we know nothing. Praise God. Not the heirs are just. Not the heirs are justified. Not the heirs have the right to come to God. He said, but the doers of the law are those that are justified. In other words, we cannot talk about priesthood if you are a breaker of law. If you are breaking law, you can't be a priest. You can't be a priest. Can we continue? He says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, verse 15, which show the work of the law written where? In their hearts. Comma, their conscience also, bearing witness, and their thoughts demean, while accusing or else excusing one another. Praise God. Next verse. In that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to the gospel I have preached. Hear what Paul said. Say, behold, thou art called a Jew, and you rest in the law, and make thy boast of God. Now, can you begin to see? You call yourself a Jew. How did he become a Jew? Circumcision. Not by law. Are you with me? You call yourself a Jew, and you boast in the law. and knoweth his will. So we understand that the law revealed his will. And approveth the things that are more excellent. Because if you remember in the old times, in the book of Exodus, Paul was, why am I using Paul? Moses was saying, said, this law that I've given you is your wisdom before all the nations. Is your wisdom. Is what will separate you, that the nations of the world will come and they will say, ah, surely you are a people of the Most High God. Hallelujah. I hope you are following me. He said, it is what? You are things that are excellent. Being instructed out of the law. 19. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. You know, the reason why they are that is because they have what? The law. I'm talking about the law that Moses gave on Mount Sinai. That law is not this, is not the sacrificial law he's talking about here. It's not the sacrificial that you will kill goats, you dress goat. I was reading Leviticus and I found that being a priest is hard work. And it's not just hard work, it is bloody work. Not only is it bloody work, it is an ungrateful work. How many of you have killed goats before? Party, want to kill goats? Okay, have you killed cow before? Have you seen them kill cow? When they want to do party, one cow can take them roughly 3 hours. I think, roughly, I'm doing mathematical. Now, imagine all kinds of, let us say 300 people. Have sinned and they've come with goats. Can you imagine the smell? Can you imagine the smell? That's what you carry to sleep every day, and you wake up the following day and you continue again, and you say you love that kind of work. God, excuse me, give me another kind of work. Just the bloody work. Their hands are always full of blood. Kill this one, and they're crying, and that one said, priest, I've come again. And then come again. Another young man has come again. Do you know how difficult that kind of work is? It was not easy work. Every day they did it. Every day. There was no holiday. You don't go on break as a priest. There's no Saturday. Okay, maybe on Saturday. On the Sabbath, they rested. How many of you like waking up on Monday and you like going to work, except you're an accountant? Praise the Lord. When you see a civil servant, love work. I is prepared to go to work even on Sunday. Get as it be. You know why people say, thank God it is Friday. Everybody likes Friday. But when it's Sunday evening, you say, God, why don't we just extend this holiday to Sunday? Nobody likes it. So I can imagine that was how it works with them. After the night of the Sabbath, after that night of Sabbath, they're looking again. Our boy is in Matunde with their sins again. And it continues like that. No rest. It was not an easy thing. He says, you are an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. 21. Thou therefore which teacheth another, teacheth thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal. Doest thou steal? 22. Thou that said the man should not commit adultery. Dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorred idols. Dost thou commit sacrilege? All these are contained in those 10 commandments. Do you follow me? This is the argument that Paul took throughout the whole Bible. And when he came to that place in chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, he began to say that you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, it is not the under the law, it's not that you are delivered from the law. Or you have escaped the law. Are you getting it? But you have been permitted not to obey it. Mm-mm. He's saying that if it is on the basis of obeying this law that you want to be justified, then you missed it. It's about justification. Nothing more and nothing less. You can't be justified. Because somewhere within you, know, remember I said, finding fault with them, he discarded that testament. That was why he discarded it, because there was fault with them. Now, look at Romans. Go, take us to Romans chapter 8. Now, let me abridge it. I don't need to go through chapter 5, 6, and 7 anymore. If God permits, I'll do that. But you can get the main idea of the discourse. Is that okay? He says, there is therefore now. Of course, we need to read chapter 7. Because he said, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Because he wants to do the law of God. He agrees the law of God is holy. He agrees that everything that God said is true. But he found that something in him kept sabotaging it. Praise God. Do you follow me? Now, theologians did not know whether Paul was writing what his experience before he met Jesus or his experience after he met Jesus. Irrespective of whatever it was, he said he had a problem. And I think that is true for all of us, even to today. He said, look, there's a difference between Jesus forgiving you and you living above sin. Yeah. Are you with me? Now, there's a difference between sin consciousness and understanding that you are still real. That you still commit sins. You don't wave and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus. I don't have sin again. You are a liar. That's what John said. You're a liar. You can say you don't have sins. You come say, that's why they say you have an advocate with the Father. If any man has committed a sin, he has what? An advocate. Because they know you still do it. I will come back to all that. Praise the Lord. So, I want to do the work of God. I want to serve God. I want to obey all these commandments. But I still find that somewhere, something within me keeps sabotaging me. Now, people say it is Satan. It is not Satan. It's not Satan. Praise God. Satan just encourages you. He just draws your attention. Like he drew the attention of Madam. Okay, look at this fruit. Is it not beautiful? It's beautiful. Can you eat it? Okay. It is not Satan that will carry your hand and go and plug it. That's why when they bring you to judgment, you not say Satan. Satan will ask you, was I there? Was I the one that put your hand? Did I put down your zipper? Did I force you? When you wrote that check, did I write the check? Ma paromo mio. Praise the Lord. However, I said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are who? In Christ Jesus. He now added a caveat. This many people have argued. Now, the new NIV has removed the second part. The new NIV has removed the second part. Because why? The people who bought the rights to the new NIV are New Age people. Are you with me? And they have removed certain parts of the scriptures that is a fulcrum of the Christian faith. One of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible is this. It said, there is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. That is NIV. You must understand that also in that first testament, even though they were sanctified to God, they still fell. The Bible said over 24,000 fell in one day. It said they are examples to us that we should not follow and lust after evil things as they also lusted. Even though they were in God, or they were seed of Abraham, they still fell. And you also are being warned that you should not make the same mistakes they make. So you can be in Christ and come under condemnation. Are you with me? Come under condemnation. If you don't walk right. Can you give me back my original KJV? That was authorized to be read in all the churches by the King of England. Amen. Again, asked Jesus one day, he said, which one is the most authentic? And Jesus Christ said, the KJV is the most authentic translation that is closest to the original. Closest to the original. KJV. If you read the story of how the KJV Bible came into being, you know why it's the most original. Minus lies, men's life went before they got that KJV. I can't go into the story of the KJV, not this morning. Maybe another time. The writers of the KJV said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So the condition under which you will not come under condemnation is to do what? Walk in the spirit. If you walk after the flesh, the Bible says you shall die. It's simple as that. Now continue. For the law of the spirit of life, found in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law could not do. Can you listen to me? When God gave the law, there was a purpose in mind. Are you with me? God just didn't give them the law alone to weld them together and make them a people. There was something God needed from them that He gave them that law. But He said the law could not do it, in that it was weak through the flesh. What neutralized the power of the law in accomplishing the purpose for which God gave it? He called it the flesh. Pastor referred to that scripture. God said, my spirit will not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. What kind of meaning is that? He also. When you use the word also, there is another flesh. He also is flesh. Remember when he drove them out of the garden? Said, let them stretch forth their hands and eat the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. He drove them out. And so is flesh. What is flesh? I hope I will do that exposition today. No, not today. I don't have the time. The next time I come up, I will talk about this. God helping me. But the flesh started when Adam ate that fruit. Can I pause a little? Can I deviate and go and talk to you about Brother Adam? Can I talk a little about Brother Adam? Then I come back here. Oh, pause here. Don't lose strength. Don't let me lose my trend of thought. Tego. When Father Adam, should I call you Father Adam or Brother Adam? Which is the one that is more correct? His father. Because he's also a father of a race. We call him a Father Abraham, so therefore Adam must be father, not Brother Adam. It is Solo that is a brother. Solo is a brother. Bro Solo. Who's the Pastor, you have been from Solo. Okay. Thank you very much. Amen. Father Adam, when he was created, the Bible says in Psalm 8 that God crowned him with glory and with honor. Now we know that that crown is not the crown you guys carry around in the palace of Deji of Akure. Whatever it was, I mean, I think he must have been crowned like God was crowned. And nobody has ever spoken about the crown of God. Nobody ever said he saw God and saw a crown on his head, because he doesn't wear a crown. What crowns him is glory. Are you with me? That glory is his crown. And that glory was Adam's covering. Do you follow me? He said, he crowned him with glory and with honor. That is the foundation of his authority to govern in the earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, when the wife ate the fruit, there is no record that anything happened. Do you remember? The Bible says she took the fruit and ate it. And there was no thunder. There was no lightning. Nothing happened. Then she gave it to her husband with her. Who was with her? And he took and ate. And suddenly, their eyes. Mathematical deduction. It means that whatever was in Eve did not carry weight. There was nothing inside her. If she alone had eaten that thing, they would have found a replacement for her. You now understand why Paul said that woman is the glory of man, but man is the glory of God. Because the direct authority of the Godhead was given to Adam. So when he ate that fruit, that thing that gave him power and authority in the earth died. And that glory left. That thing left. And so when God came and said, Adam, where are you? He said, I heard your voice walking. That's another story for another day. In the garden. And I hid myself. Because I was naked. And God like, who told you? The first thing we see about the tree of knowledge of good and evil is that it began to give them self-knowledge.
Yes.
Began to tell them that they can self. I am naked. I said, God, who told you? That thing is a preaching gospel. Is a preacher. Said, who told you? Somebody preached the gospel to you. It was not Lucifer that told them they were naked. That thing they ate told them they were naked. Because it is the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Were they not naked the day they were made? They were naked. But suddenly they were not ashamed. But suddenly he ate the fruit, he became ashamed, and he said he was naked. Who told you you were naked? The answer was self-evident. The knowledge kicked in. Self began to speak. What died in man was not his spirit. What died in man was his heart. What killed his heart was knowledge. Do you hear what I said? You didn't hear what I said. You cannot understand. You are thinking in dual mode. Either you are alive or you are dead. When you are dead, you must cease to live. No. This man was not a spirit that died. Because he could still talk with God. He could still hear God. He was sensitive to what was going on around him. But something else was taking place. Somewhere inside of him, a knowledge came out. Jesus Christ, the heart of the heart proceeds what? All thoughts of good and evil. How do you think? What generates thoughts? Heart of their proceed the forces that governs life. So Solomon said, guard your heart. So what died was his heart. Are you with me? Because that was what controls creation. And that was where God put glory and honor. And when that thing died, it became vulnerable. Am I making sense? You will see it when you come to the book of Hebrews. The sacrifices of the Old Testament could not take away sins. The Bible says it could only cover sins. It could not deal with the issues of the heart. Amen.
Amen.
Like we heard yesterday another time. If the problem was sin, like blood, John the Baptist did not need to shed blood before he forgave sins. Are you with me? Forgiving you of your sin is not a big deal. Even Gentiles forgive sins. So what is God bragging about? Do you follow me? If your problem was forgiving of sins, then God has no basis to brag that he has done any great thing. If it was forgiveness, there is no business for Jesus going to the cross. Because we also saw that he looked at that young man that was on the stretcher and he said, son, your sin be forgiven thee. Is that not good enough? You can look at all of you. In the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, I forgive all of you. Go in peace and sin no more. That you are forgiven. But how does that help you? It won't go far. You remember that woman that was caught in adultery? Just Christ said, go and sin no more. She will always go back and sin because the thing that made that to sin is still there. Do you follow me? The thing that sins is still there. Amen. It was weak through the flesh. I surmise, I tell you that what they call flesh there is a heart. It's not your human flesh. It's where? The heart. You will see it. God sent him his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of what? The law. The law has righteousness. That the righteousness of the law may be what? Fulfilled in us. You now begin to understand why Jesus came. It's more than forgiveness of sin. It's about you being able to fulfill the righteousness that law that he gave them on Mount Sinai demanded from you and I. They could not obey it because something in their heart kept rebelling. You know, God also said, he said, their heart was not right with me. Their hearts were not right with me. Who walk not after the flesh, for after the spirit. He now said, for they that are after the flesh do mind. What does it mean to mind? What does it mean to mind? To what? To think. Thank you very much. What else? To do what? To pant after. I like that. Who else is going to help me? Pardon? To consider. To give attention. Thank you. Continuous attention. Continuous thinking. Meditation. Something makes you meditate. It's being generated from somewhere. Hallelujah. Why is it that a professor, cerebral, his mind is sharp. The man is a first class mind. Maurice Wu, you know Maurice Wu? He's one of the most crooked professors Nigeria has ever produced. Former chairman of INEC. He cheated and manipulated results, and he was laughing. You can know book and yet be corrupt. Have you not seen professors? First class mind who are busy sleeping with small girls around you about corrupt people. They're depraved. This is not book. It's not book matter. There's another thin inside man that is making him behave like an animal. It is that thing that Jesus came to deal with. I won't have the time to go into all that because I'm looking at many of you are tired. I'm also feeling it. Praise God. Let me round up with this last thought or two. I asked you for 1.5 hours. You obliged me. I thank you for that. But I won't take it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me go back to Romans. Hebrews. Hebrews 7. I want to close there, and I'll probably continue there. Verse 11 to 19. Hebrews 7, 11 to 19. I want to stop on that. If therefore perfection were by what? The Levitical priesthood. Remember Romans 8, 1 said, condemnation is on us if we don't obey, but what the law could not do, God did. By giving up his son. Now, the purpose of that is so that the righteousness of the law can be what? Fulfilled in us. Now, Paul is now saying here again. Says, if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood. In other words, the purpose again of the Levitical priesthood was to birth perfection. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is what? Have you ever given thought to what that scripture carried as an import, the import of that statement? Except you have a flawed mind or imagination about the perfection of God. If God is perfect, because that is why he's God, asking you and I to be perfect like him, is it not asking for too much? Am I talking? Think about it. Is God not asking for too much? Thank you, sir. Or is he not asking for the impossible? Does he not know that we are flesh? Look at your neighbor. Is he spirit? Please, look at him. Is he spirit? Well, the last time I checked, you guys are still in the flesh. Amen. Does he not know us? I mean, do you know your history? Do you know your history? You know how bad a guy. You know you are very, very bad. You were bad. Yeah. Praise God. How can he ask you to be perfect like God? It's not possible. Do you follow me? It's not possible. He's asking for the impossible. And they said to Jesus, when that man came, just looked at him and said, oh, if you will be perfect, go and sell all you have. Remember, go and sell all you have. Give to the poor. Come and follow me. The man turned away sorrowful. And just kind of said, oh, how impossible it is for a rich man to enter heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. And his disciples heard him and responded, said, then if that be the case, because you hope. What is our hope? What is our hope? The boy man told Jesus, from my youth I have kept the law. If he lied, Jesus said, okay, your job will come November 24. You follow me? He didn't lie. So as far as the disciples were concerned, that guy was not in their level. No, come on, guys, come on, come on, she level me. I want bro. I want spirit bro. When they come to church, their eyes like that. God. Hallelujah. I want winning anyway. They've left this realm. So when they stand beside you, you stand condemned. There is just the God. What did I do to deserve this condemnation? What did I do? And yet Jesus looked at him and said, that guy has no hope. And Jesus' response is what I want you to pay attention to. He said, with men, it is not possible. But with God, all things are, including coming into perfection. You cannot orchestrate work of perfection by your own program. That's why I say what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God accomplished through his Son. And now said the Spirit of life which is in Christ Jesus hath made me free. You now begin to understand the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. The primary and the most important work of the Holy Ghost is not the gifts of the Spirit. It's not ministry gifts. It's your ability to overcome sin and death. When Pastor was speaking about you yielding and obeying, that is the working of the Holy Ghost. In the place of you yielding and obeying, you are breaking the power of sin. They are breaking that code. They are breaking that genetic code that came from Adam into your heart. They are breaking it. They are breaking it. They are breaking it. That you should no longer serve sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under the people received the law. He says under the Levitical priesthood they received the law. Praise God. Who came first, the law or the Levitical priesthood? Do you remember the story? It was after the law was given that Aaron was consecrated. But Paul said here, that under the law they received, under the priesthood they received the law. You know why it is true? Because Moses, the representative of Levi, was the one that brought the law. That's why under the priesthood they received that law. Because Moses was also a Levite. You know that. He was the son of Levi. Aaron was a Levite. All of them were Levites. He came from the same tribe. What further need was there that another priest to rise after the order of Melchizedek? Please, I said it. We are talking about orders and patterns. Jesus says priesthood is greater than Melchizedek priesthood. Are you with me? Melchizedek, the only thing that was similar to their priesthood is that it did not come from the lineage of Aaron. And he did not have a father or a mother. No record. Are you with me? But we know Jesus, who was born of Mary. At least we know his mother. Do you follow me? No, we're not talking about Jesus that was born and put in a manger. We are talking about he who rose from the dead that does not have beginning or ending of this. He who walked in Galilee had a beginning. He had an end. But he who rose up from the dead has no beginning. He has no end. He said, I am he that is alive. Was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Is that correct English? Shouldn't have been, I am he that was dead. Now I am alive. And I will be alive forevermore. He said, I am he that is, was, and will be. Doesn't follow grammar. Praise God. So his priesthood is after that order, as it pertained to the issue of lineage, as it pertained to the issue of duration. Beyond that, there is no more similarity. Because he who is our high priest lives by the power of an endless life. Melchizedek has left the scene. They called him a man. This is not man, this is Christ. The carrier of all the powers of deity. But also in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When he was on earth, even though God gave him the Spirit without measure, he didn't carry the fullness of the Godhead. Are you with me?
Yes.
Oh, you understand John chapter 17. He said, the glory I had with you, give me back. He was asking for the full power of the Godhead. I had it, we shared it together before I came. Now I want it back. Give it back to me. That's the agreement. Return it to. Amen. And not be called after the order of Aaron. Verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Hallelujah. For he of whom these things are spoken pertained to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. 14. For it is evident our law sprung out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. 15. And is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Praise the Lord. Let me take my final thought and then rest my case this morning. Can you take me back to verse 14? I saw something in 14, then I want to... No, take it 13. There was something that... Okay, 12. Make it 12. Let's see 12. Okay, I'm talking about this change also of the law. Listen to me. The Old Testament law for which the Aaronic priesthood ran its course is based on the law of the Levitical priesthood. It is based on the fact that they were there to mediate between God and Israel. There were guidelines that guided that particular priesthood. When the priesthood changed, the law that guided priesthood also changed. That's why you don't bring blood again to church. And I find that the man say this, it's just in passing, I'm not saying my own, no. I hear people say, I want to go to the altar. Please, where is the altar? Somebody please point to the altar. Some people have caught the idea. Okay, I'm going to the altar. He called me and said, Lord, I've come to the altar. There is no altar again. Because the law has changed. There is no physical altar again. That's why you can enter your closet and talk to your father, and your father in heaven will hear. But not so in that Old Testament. You must go to Shiloh or go to Zion to meet God there. Because that's where the altar is. Any sacrifice we make not there is not acceptable. So this is not altar. It is called pulpit. Our design, our furawane, mule bekuro, kuisheche. Do you hear me? Don't be offended. If I bring the pulpit and I sit on it and I'm talking with you, say, Pastor, desecrated the temple. I've defied the temple. No, I've not. Praise God. Are you with me? Though it is not right, it's not proper. You sure you understand me? We separated this for this purpose. You know, it's not right. But if I do it, it's not. If I say I don't want choir again, no more drumming, it's not a sin. If I say from now henceforth, nobody must come to church wearing shirt and trouser, you must wear robe. Like the Levites of Old Testament. No, the rules have changed. You know the rules that govern this thing is Romans chapter 8 verse 2. The law of the spirit of life governs this priesthood. It's a different, a complete paradigm shift. A complete different model. That's why the Bible says the sacrifices you offer is different from the sacrifices they offered. Because the law has changed. Amen. You can walk around and people will not recognize you because you're not wearing any t-shirts carrying priesthood. You're not wearing any cap. You know? All those, my cap, you're not wearing those. No. The laws have changed. Where does the law of the spirit of life operate from? The heart. It's the heart. They that will worship God, we worship Him where? In spirit and in truth. The laws have changed. Those are statements of priesthood. When he was speaking to the Jews, they understood what he was saying. Everything you hear Jesus spoke was speaking from the paradigm of priesthood. When he said, you cannot except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, they knew what he was saying. They knew what he was saying. He was alluding to the sacrifices. They said, are we cannibals? No. Amen. Am I making sense to you? When John saw him in the book of Revelation, where did we see him? He said, being turned round. John was facing here. And John said, being turned round, I saw him in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Where do you find seven golden candlesticks? In the holy place. So John was facing the outside. When he appeared in that vision, in Revelation chapter 1, when he had the voice from the holy place. In other words, Jesus was stepping out of the most holy place. Are you with me? Jesus was doing what? Was stepping out of the holy place, from the most holy, into the holy place. Was coming out of the place of redemption when John saw him. He turned around and seen him in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Every scene in heaven there was taking place in the temple. Except when that thing broke and was talking about the Gentile nations. Then after that, he stopped again and went back into the temple of God. Everything about God is priesthood. It's priesthood. But sin is the problem. So it's more than forgiveness of sins, which I've said. It's about dealing with where it started from. The root. When Adam died, that's where Jesus Christ went to. The blood of goats and bulls could not touch the thing that dealt with Adam. Are you with me? That's why that Levitical priesthood was weak, because of flesh. But Jesus has come and he has dealt with flesh. So you and I can offer the right kind of sacrifice that is acceptable to God in Christ Jesus. Can we bow our heads and bless the Lord? And now, let's worship him. Father, I thank you. This elaborate scheme, this elaborate plan blows my mind. I'm grateful to you, Jesus. The heart of man is deceitful, and that heart is wicked. The work of Jesus goes beyond ministering forgiveness of sins. The work of Jesus went to the place of purging. He says he came to purge our consciences from dead works. Can you ask that he will keep on purging your heart? He will keep on purging your conscience. That is the work of the high priest. To purge your conscience. To purge your conscience. He wants to purge you. every one of you have what it takes to be perfect. The Bible said of Jesus, he said, the enemy came and he found nothing in me. God and Satan needs to come and see you and say there is nothing against you. They can't complain about anything about you. Because you are as perfect as your Father that is in heaven. Not an human arrangement, but by the Spirit of God. Father, I bless your great name. I bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
Believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.